Hello once again. Tom L. Bonvy here with another message from Battlesite for Christ. Glad you could join me. I have a two-parter for you now. We'll go through part one this week and get as much in here as I can in the time allotted, and then next week, next Saturday, the same time, 9 o'clock, we'll finish it up. Okay? Okay, let's say a prayer before we get into the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to deliver your Word, Lord. For giving me the wisdom to put it down on paper, Lord, so I could see clearly, Lord, what you are saying to us. And to believe in my heart, Lord, that what happened at Calvary is the only way into your presence. For I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for those who are listening and all who will in the days ahead. Amen. Amen. Okay, here we go. Now, it's the day they took repentance out of salvation. Now, that's what I was intending to call my message. You know, because a lot of people think that you can get saved without repenting. Okay, so let's call it by a different title. What shall we call it? How about repentance? Yes or no? Yes or no? Okay? All right. Now, it seems like, well, seems like only yesterday. The fact of the matter is, well, it was many yesterdays when a small maritime boy sat in the front pew of a Catholic church in Pictou, Nova Scotia, and tried to figure out what Father Ratchford was saying. Now, Father Ratchford was one of the priests in that Catholic church when I was a child many, many moons ago, which I won't get into, okay? And we were all commanded to sit in the front pews of the church so we couldn't fidget and fumble and talk and make a mess of things. Okay? Even though a lot of the preaching back then in the Catholic Church was very difficult to understand. Very difficult indeed. Anyway, they tell me that Father Ratchford, whom I referred to, that he wasn't speaking in tongues and that it was Latin. Now, as a young boy, I never heard of Latin. I didn't know what he was talking about or what he was talking about. It was just mumbo-jumbo to me. It could have been Swahili to me. I didn't have a clue what he was saying. But they always believed, because I was there in the presence in the Catholic Church, that that was going to save my soul, whether I knew what they were talking about or not. I didn't have a clue, nor what he was doing, walking up and down the aisles, swinging a smoking teapot on a chain. Huh? I don't know what he was doing. Was he burning, or what he was burning in that pot? But it sure smelled nice. Sure did. Even back then, I could sense God calling me. Calling me. Now, why would he call me? Little old me at the time. He calls us all. It's just that we don't all answer. You know, that might have been just a call that I didn't quite understand back then. Because nobody explained these things in the church to us, not in the Catholic Church. No, they just said, do what we tell you and you're going to heaven. It's that simple. That's the way it is. I didn't have a clue what he was saying, nor what he was doing walking up and down the aisle with that boop, 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 smoking teapot. Well, it looked like it anyway. Okay. But you know, like I said, even back then I could sense God calling me. Not to some great work, I would imagine, but from without the evil tyranny of Catholicism. Wanted me to come out of that church. Which at a time I didn't even know or care even existed. Why? Give me an invisible camera that I might walk through the walls, and I shall bring forth inerrant proof of the heart-wrenching atrocities that were and still do occur in the dungeons and catacombs of the Vatican. Oh, yes. But who wants to hear about that? Such grotesque images have been blurred by time and denial. Don't believe me? Believe instead the murdered nuns and martyred saints who gave their all in the name of humanity and true Christian values. And there are many of them. If those walls, those dungeon walls within the Vatican could talk, what a story they would tell you. Stand, if you will, with your ear pasted to the walls of a German castle, and you will still hear the haunting cries of 6 million of God's elect, whose only crime was that they believed in God. God knows the voice of the Nazi-run papacy, and vengeance will ultimately be his, as usual. Oh yes, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord, Romans 12:19. So, what does all this have to do with taking the repentance out of salvation? Huh? Plenty. Stay tuned, please. You see, when I got saved, repentance was a major part of salvation. I didn't understand it too well. I was just a young lad. Lest we repent, the Word tells us, the Word of God says, lest ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I did not say that once that one needed good works to get saved, like a lot think. No. Repentance is a change of the heart and direction. Salvation without wanting to change. Salvation without remorse. Can that be real? Or is it just like a flippant mention? Oh yeah, I believe in God, and I get out of my way. I got things to do. Have you ever heard that? I heard it. Save me, Lord. Please hurry. I got a poker game to go to. Is that not easy believism? Or any believism at all? Sounds pretty easy to me. I believe you died for my sin, Lord Jesus. Now, can I play in the church band? Come on, will you? Salvation is one-on-one, you and Jesus. There's no little options you're given outside of the fact that your soul is saved and you're going to glory. No, all you have to do is repent and believe. The Bible says that Job was a perfect and upright man. But notice this with me. Job 42, verse 6. Job says, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Wow, that's a pretty heavy statement. I abhor? That means I hate myself. And he repents in dust and ashes? Sounds pretty serious to me, right? Does a perfect and upright man need to repent? Does he? Yes. Oh, yes. Of course. Simply because, all are in need of forgiveness. All. You, me, them. All are in need of forgiveness. First you believe. First you believe in Jesus, that He died for your sins. Then, forgiveness. In the Bible, the act of repentance is understood as an action verb, which means to turn away. To turn away. You have to turn away from your sinful estate. Now you might say, I can't believe in what happened at Calvary. God will give you strength. He will give you power over your sinful condition. Prayer, or what I should say, pray without ceasing. That's what God tells us. That's where the answer lies. Once God knows you are serious, He's there to help you. He's not going to cast you aside because you forget some sort of little whatever that just escapes your mind for the moment. No. Turn away. Turn away from something, right? And that something is sin. We're not talking God, good works. No. Now, if you turn away from something, you must logically turn to something else. That's the way life is. Paul and Silas had their shackles supernaturally removed by an unknown power. Well, that was God. When their jailer felt the trembling of the earthquake and the sudden awareness that a massive tragedy was about to befall him, that all the prisoners were going to come out and kill him, what did he do? He fell to his knees in a horrible fright, filled with the fear of a certain death if his prisoners were to escape. He would be killed if he allowed them to escape. He had heard Paul and Silas in the dungeon, and they were, and what were they doing? They were singing. Kind of hard to believe, isn't it? If you threw me in jail, would I be singing? Well, maybe if I'm still inebriated, and that was the reason why I was put in jail. I didn't know where I was. This is not the way it was with Paul and Silas. They were singing praises unto the Lord. They were singing, not the hit parade, but praises unto God. Well, the jailer, he surely thought, they were fools. Idiots, ready for the funny farm. Until his world fell suddenly apart. You know what the jailer wanted? He wanted what Paul and Silas already had. On his knees before them, he pleaded, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Wow! Was he serious? It sure seems like it. What must I do to be saved? What was Paul's response? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And he didn't stop there. He said, and thy house. Now, a lot of people have said to me, this is kind of funny in a way, they say, well, I can understand God saving your soul, but how does he save your house? Well, I don't think you're thinking that. I'm not implying that. But what it actually means, of course, is his household, his family. If they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved as well. Now, when the jailer realized that Paul and Silas were freed, their shackles were broken, the doors were opened, the hand of God, of course, guess what? They were in great fear. Death seemed inevitable. If you were that jailer, what would you do? He didn't believe in Jesus as Savior up to that point. So, would you not say that the jailer's conversion, which followed, was somewhat radical? Huh? Some would say that the jailer sought salvation through works. He washed their stripes. He gave them meat. He even had himself and his family baptized. Wow! None of these works were necessary for salvation. However, the works did show the manner of the jailer and his family, their sincerity, their wanting to know Jesus Christ. Now, that was nearly 2,000 years ago or more. I don't know for sure. When the Philippian jailer and his family got saved and baptized. In verse 32 of the word of God says, they spake unto him, Paul and Silas, spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. A family thing, you see. Get the picture? Huh? All that were in his house. Man, would I like to have been a video recording of that meeting or a fly on the wall or something? Do you not think that salvation was fully explained and understood and received in that house? Oh, yes. If Paul and Silas gave it, you can believe it for sure. It was understood. We don't know all the verbal transactions took place, but we do know that the Philippian jailer turned and gave his life, and his family as well did, over to Christ. Was repentance mentioned? Oh, yes. Now, what I wish to point out here is, and I put it in the form of a question, do you think the jailer got instantly saved when he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? Huh? Amid all the carnage that just took place, all the prisoners escaping, or do you believe he got saved later at home with his family, with Paul and Silas, after they explained God's plan of salvation? So what's my point? What difference does it make? As you can tell by God's written word, there was great calamity at the prison when the jailer suddenly found himself in a no-win situation. Did he believe because of his situation? Was he grasping for straws? Did he understand salvation? Even if before Paul made it clear at the jailer's house? Or was he scared into salvation? Scared, like so many today, until the fear subsides. And then they say, oh, what kind of fool am I? Oh. Why is this issue important, you may ask? Because it's a matter of life and death. Notice the gap between verse 31 and 32. We must assume that the plan of salvation mentioned culminated at the jailer's house. The house where Paul surely explained the salvation plan to every one of the family. I know some of you are thinking, I know what you're thinking. I'm dealing with supposition here, right? Suppose the jailer died or got killed before he reached the house. Suppose Paul and Silas ran off and got captured as they left the prison. Maybe. Huh? The word of God is not clear as to whether the jailer got saved at the jail or at his house when his family got saved. Most likely at the prison. It appears quite obvious to me that God set up the entire scenario. The plea by the jailer for salvation, the key phrase from Paul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The transition from prison to the private residence and the culmination, followed and completed with baptism, although baptism doesn't save and is not compulsory for salvation. We must conclude that the jailer and his family got the full treatment. The full treatment. They knew what was going on. They did it all. Do you think they repented? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And people today say, what's repentance? You don't have to repent to get saved. Oh, yes, you do. That's another sermon. Although salvation is instantaneous, we must remember that the heart must be right. The whole point of my message is that somewhere, some new evangelical apostate preacher or layman is telling the multitudes exactly what Paul told the Philippian jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they're running with it. And it's making the devil very, very happy. Why? Because they followed the method, but not the man. The man, of course, being the Lord Jesus. See, that happens a lot today in many churches where you're told the plan of salvation, but it is slightly altered that you can only to mean, to indicate that salvation can only be achieved through the church. That's the way it is with Catholicism. That's the way it is in many churches today. We will tell you how. You just listen and do as we say. Yet the truth is known. It is known. The entire issue of repentance, which should not be an issue at all, is sending thousands of so-called believers straight to hell. It is. 2 Timothy 2:15. Read it for yourself. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're not doing it. We are not rightly dividing the word of truth. We're not. When I got saved, I repented of my sins. Yes, I did. Not because some priest long ago told me to. I repented of my sins because I was sorry. I was sorry for the way I lived, the way I had cursed God, sorry for my whole life, and I needed forgiveness. And then I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. Now by telling Jesus that I repented and was sorry is the same as believing in Him. If I didn't believe in Him, why would I bother to ask Him to save me? Why would I even tell Him I was sorry? Today it's simply believe in Him. You don't have to be sorry. You don't have to repent. You don't have to give up anything. Simply believe. The key word is believe. But you have to turn from your old sinful ways to what Jesus would have you do, and believe fully in Him. You know, even the devil believes, and he trembles. But the belief that Satan has is simply knowing that Jesus is real and alive, and on the throne. On the other hand, we mortal sinners share Or rather, on the other hand, the belief we mortal sinners share is quite different. To believe in Jesus is to obey him. I'm not talking about work salvation. God said, if you believe on me, keep my commandments. That comes from the heart. This statement is universally applied to all who will come to him. Dearly beloved, it's absolutely insane, ludicrous, indeed, to say you believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and go about living your old, sin-filled life. You know what 2 Corinthians 7:10 says? For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. You can be sorry for all the wrong you're doing in your family life or at your job or out on the streets. That ain't going to save you. The only way you're going to get saved is by repenting and believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I've really enjoyed doing this message, and I hope that you got something from it. But you know, there's so much here, I'll have to make a part two, and I'll bring it forth next week, Lord willing. And I would ask that you would tune in again next week right here on the Just Jesus Radio Network and get the conclusion to this exciting message. You know, I want to leave you with this one thought. I believe, or I wouldn't have prepared these messages that God has laid in my heart, because he would not have used my heart, because he knows if I truly believe or not. And that's my job as a preacher of God's word, to help others understand the word and to believe in it. Thank you, Lord God, for giving me this opportunity today. And I pray, Lord, that those who have heard it, Lord, that they will understand. And if they don't, Lord, that they will seek thee out anyway and ask for your understanding in a different way than perhaps I could. Lord God, you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I trust in you, Lord. I believe in you. I love you, Lord Jesus. In your name, I pray. Amen. Amen.